many lost and dying in this world today. Have you heard their crying, or do you turn away? The harvest now is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God needs some willing vessels to be used. Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell them of the crimson floor. Is it too late for caring? Does Jesus really save? Are we truly praying for the blind to find their way? Little children are falling into a burning hell. Will anyone heed the calling to go and tell? Here am I will go, I will reach the lost untold. We'll tell them of the crimson floor. For my Savior died on that old rugged cross. He thought of me when he counted the cost. How can I say that I love him if I don't reply? Here am I will go, I will untold. I will give the Lord control. I will tell him of the crimson floor. I will tell him of the crimson floor. Here am I.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 6, please. Luke chapter 6, as you find that, and as you're able, would you stand to your feet as we read the Word of God. Luke chapter number 6, and again, when you find that, if you're able, would you stand to your feet. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 39 is where we will begin reading this morning and read down to verse number 45. If you follow along as we're reading the Word of God, Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 39, reading down to verse number 45. The Bible says, Luke 6:39, and he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say unto thy brother, behold, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit, for of thorns men do gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we ask for your help and blessing on this service today. Lord, we need you. I pray that you'd speak to every heart, every man, woman, and child today from the Word of God. Holy Spirit, please convict the needs that we have today that only you know. Again, Lord, if there's a need of salvation in someone's life, would they please trust in you alone as their Savior before they leave this room? I pray that you convict those that are struggling with sin and comfort those that are weary. Help today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you're seated, would you take a moment, if you haven't already, and silence your cell phone or turn it off? That would be a help if you would do that as well. And just stay in your place for a few moments as we have the preaching of the Word of God. It's interesting how some can sit quiet and still for hours and hours for movie, and then church, all of a sudden, everyone's going to leave a whole lot to help with. I know some need to understand that. Otherwise, we'll just sit and listen to the preaching of the Word of God. In Luke chapter number 6, Jesus gives a parable. He gives an example, an illustration here to the disciples, and he gives them a challenge here in verse number 39, starting out by saying, "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" And he talks to them first about their sight. Can a blind lead a blind? And that's much of what society is doing today. There's a whole lot of society of the blind leading the blind. They don't know where they're going, but they're leading everyone, and many times in the wrong direction. And with that thought, you better be careful who you're listening to and who you're following, because they are leading you in a direction. You better know who you're listening to, you're watching, because they're leading you further away from God or closer to the Lord. It's one or the other. And then it continues on, the disciple's not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be his master. And then in verse number 41, it talks about judging. This passage is also repeated in the book of Matthew, and it talks about how we behold the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but don't behold the beam in your own eye. Another example of your sight. And it's the blind leading the blind, but in the other example, it's talking about you seeing the faults in others, and it's not talking about it's not saying it's wrong to judge, but the hypocritical judging is what is wrong there when we see all the faults in everyone else but not ourselves. But I want to look down here and focus on verse 43 through 45. And it gives the parable and the example of a tree and its fruit. Understand, the parables that Jesus gave have a deeper meaning than just the visual thought of a tree and a fruit. There was always a personal example and application. Aren't you thankful that we have the Word of God that gives us personal application for our lives? Amen? That the Word of God is good for every generation. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Word of God is pointing to my life, to what I need. And I want to look again and read through verse 43 through 45. I want you to think about what God is speaking about in these verses, and then I'll explain them here in a minute. Verse 43, it says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. For a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaketh." The parable that Jesus gave of a tree and of fruit, and some is good fruit and some is corrupt fruit, and then it talks about the heart of man. Let's give the example and the parable of the meaning there. Well, the tree, of course, is a picture of man. It's a picture of you. And it talks about this tree, and it says in verse number 43, there's a good tree and there's a corrupt tree. And verse number 44 talks about every tree. And we know that the Bible is not referring to a literal tree that you're looking at. It's giving a parable, an example of the trees. Can we get a commercial break for a moment? And how many of you are enjoying seeing the changing of the leaves and the trees as you drive around? Just incredible. Every once in a while you drive around and it doesn't just make you go, wow, and you get just the bright yellows and oranges and reds and purples of God changing the leaves during this time. But you see the trees, but it's talking even more specifically about a fruit tree. So the tree, it's a picture of man. It's a picture of your life. We'll give some application here in a minute. And then the fruit, it's a picture of your works. Again, you have the good tree that brings forth what kind of fruit? Good fruit. And a corrupt tree brings forth what? Corrupt fruit. You're doing great, class. And the fruit is a picture of our works. So we have a tree, but then you have a good tree, and you have a good tree and a corrupt tree or a bad tree. And then you have the fruit that comes off of those trees, that fruit tree. Although not mentioned in these passages, in verse number 45, it talks about the heart of man. I believe that's referring to the roots, right? If you have a bad root system, that tree will not survive. You ever seen a tree before and you went, what went wrong there? And the root, they're not getting water. The roots are not deep enough, whatever the problem may be. And the tree just at one point looked good. And then all of a sudden it was laying on somebody's house. I don't want to scare you with that thought. But you see, what looked like it was good, and even more specifically, that fruit tree. And one, it looked like it was a good tree to bring forth good fruit, but there was something bad there. And then some, maybe you didn't expect a lot from it, and it brought good fruit. In verse number 45, a good man of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and the nutrients from that tree come from the roots. So now that we get the point of the illustration here, we understand this, that the Bible is talking about the heart of man. The Bible is talking about the condition of your heart. You say, no, but I thought God is talking about the fruit. No. The issue is the heart of man, not the fruit of man. How many times do we look at someone and say, well, they've got bad fruit. They've got a bad attitude. They've got bad dress, their words, their actions. Yes. But the issue is not as much as what's on the outside. The issue is what is happening on the inside. The book of Proverbs says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of it, the heart of man. We're good at looking right on the outside, aren't we? Oh man, the beauty and apparel business today is billions upon billions of dollars for commercials and advertisements and product designs and all that stuff, so we can look better on the outside. The problem is not that we have a problem with the outside, although there is some problems there with the fruit, don't get me wrong, but the real problem is what is happening on the inside. You ever tried to change the outside of somebody, right? You could take someone they're deep into a world of sin in their life, and you could put all the nice clothes on them, and they could shower and change and dress and look nice and right. Are they really changed? They're not. The outside looks nice, and it may last for a little bit, but the real problem is what is happening on the inside. Church, God is checking the heart of man today. He's checking the heart of man, every man, woman, and child, and he's looking for fruit, but the fruit comes from the condition of your heart, from the condition of the heart. I want to look at a few points today and make some application from the message today. In verse number 43, it says, for a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. I want you to notice this, that every tree brings forth fruit. You see that? The good tree, the good fruit, the corrupt tree, the corrupt fruit. I understand there's trees, fruit trees, they may not produce fruit, but in this passage here you see that every tree produces fruit. Every one of them, the good fruit or the bad fruit. Every tree brings forth fruit. As a child, my family moved from Southern California up to the foothills of the Sacramento area near the Placerville area. When we moved there, my dad's mission was to plant every tree that he could on our property. We were going to repopulate the world's tree situation, and part of that, I got the joy and the pleasure that I loved so much of digging holes for trees. And at one point, I counted how many it was, and then I got discouraged by counting how many it was. But at one point, we planted a fruit orchard. We had cherries, and we had apples, and we had peaches, and we had plums, and I don't remember what else. To be honest, I don't remember once eating ever fruit that came from those trees. I don't remember it at all. But we must have had 30 trees in this little orchard area. And that's, I think a few of them are still standing today, not a bunch of them. But as you look at them, sometimes you get the fruit and it's little scrawny fruit, little kind of shriveled up or hard, or it's not any taste to it. It's not ripe. It's not been cared for properly. To be honest, I don't think it was as much of the problem of the trees as it was maybe the care for the trees. And that probably has something to do with me because I was supposed to water the trees. And maybe I did or didn't water them as much as I should have. But do you understand this from the illustration, the parable, that every tree produces fruit? Remember this again, the tree is a picture of your life, and the fruit is a picture of your works. Every person, every life is going to produce some kind of fruit, but everyone is going to produce fruit in their lives. And you notice this, that some fruit is good and some is corrupt. You notice there's not really an in-between there, that some is good and some is corrupt, and that comes from the heart of man. Every tree, number one, brings forth fruit. Number two is this, a tree is known by its fruit. We see the good tree brings forth good fruit, the corrupt tree, corrupt fruit. But look at verse number 44. I want you to read this first phrase with me up to the period. Would you read that out loud with me? Verse number 44, read to that first period. It says this, for every tree is known by his own fruit. You see that? Every tree is known by his what? His own fruit. You ever hear that? Don't judge me. Every tree is known by his own fruit. If you want, you can quote scripture to them. That may not help the matter at all. The book of Proverbs says this in chapter 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings. Even a child. It doesn't mean only a child, but even or also a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. You know, I love how people say today, well, don't judge me. Don't judge me by my fruit. How else am I supposed to judge you, right? Someone breaks into your house and they say, well, don't judge me. You're like, oh, okay, I'm not going to judge you. I'm sure they're good. I'm sure they have good intentions. As they start piling your things up and taking them in the car or running off with them. You know, I love how people say, well, don't judge me. Well, you know, we are commanded in the Bible to judge. You know that, right? Not a hypocritical judging, but we are commanded to judge. But we know this from the passage. A tree is known by its fruit, or you are known by your fruit or by your doings. Say, don't judge me by what I say. Don't judge me by what I do. Don't judge me by what I wear. Don't judge me at all. Well, the Bible says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. We are to judge whether things are right or wrong. You do that. You turn on the news. Do you judge if it's right or wrong what they're telling you? I hope you do. You turn on the internet and get on, is this right or wrong? You better judge and be careful. Is this right or wrong based on the Word of God? We should judge, but let me go back to the point here of how we are supposed to judge, and we'll get back to the message here. Number one, God is our judge, right? God is the judge. If anyone is going to judge our fruit and our works, it's going to be God. You know why? Because man looketh on the outward appearance. I can't see your heart. You can't see mine. Again, you could change all the outside and look like everything has changed, but the inside, the heart of man, could be completely wicked and away from God. We know this. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but what? God looketh on the what? On the heart. See, I can't see the heart of man, but I can see the outside. Now, I can see the fruit, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, and what's on the inside will come out. Right? What's on the inside will come out. You say, well, that's not really who I am. That's just what I did. Right? Okay. Now, people make mistakes. We better be careful not to lay down the hammer on everyone before we get the hammer laid down on us as well. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged again as well. Amen. But God is our judge, first of all. God is the judge of our heart and the judge of our fruit of our lives, isn't he? God's your judge. He knows. Think about this for a minute. God knows even the thoughts and the intents of your heart. God knows what you're thinking right now. God knows what you're thinking, what you even intended to do. You say, well, it doesn't really matter what I think about as long as I don't do it. Well, that's a wicked thought process, isn't it? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, the Bible says, so is he. So your thoughts definitely do matter. And your heart definitely matters as well. So number one, God is our judge. Number two, we are supposed to judge ourselves first. I'm supposed to judge me. And I'm supposed to say, God, am I right with you today? Am I the husband, the father, the Christian that I should be? We're supposed to judge ourselves before we judge anybody else. and make sure we are right with God, we're not supposed to judge others hypocritically. Now, you are going to judge other people by their fruit. You do just as much as anybody else does. You might say, I don't judge. You do, but we're not supposed to judge hypocritically. You ever done that where you drove past someone's yard and you went, their yard is a mess. Now I'm a man, I notice the yard stuff, okay? That's important to me, right? The outside, that's our territory. We're supposed to keep that looking nice and right. You ever drive by a neighbor's house and you go, man, their yard looks terrible. And then you go home and you go, our yard looks terrible, right? You ever done that? Look at their garage. Oh, look at our garage, you know? And you have that where you can so quickly judge another, and then you realize, ooh, but I have that same problem as well, right? We better be careful how we judge others, not to judge hypocritically, but then number four, we're supposed to judge biblically. We're supposed to judge through the lenses of the Word of God and say, is this right or wrong in God's sight? Right? Is this good or bad for me in my life? A tree is known by its fruit. Now, I'm not an expert at fruit trees, but you can identify a tree by the fruit it produces. You ever drive down I-5 or down 99? We drove down the other day, and as we drove down 99, I went to our girls' volleyball game. The Hawks got a win. Amen. And there's a field on the left side of 99, and they've got a bunch of little trees they're planting, and it looked like thousands of them. Little trees, they were about this tall with a little stalk to try to keep them up. I have no idea what fruit it is. But if you get closer and closer and closer, you see the fruit on that tree, and you can identify that tree. You're known by your fruit, right? You're known by the words that you speak. Your testimony, the Bible says in Proverbs, a good name is rather to be what? Chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You choose what you say. You choose what you do. You say, well, it wasn't my fault what I did. You are the one in control of your spirit and your heart and your actions, right? A tree is known by his fruit. Now, we can excuse and say, you know, my bad, my fault. It doesn't take it away, does it? A tree is known by its fruit. You've heard this said before, what goes in must come out, right? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's why it's so important what you put in your eyes, what you watch, what you listen to, what you put in your body. It's so important because what goes in will come out. You say, well, that's not who I am. Well, that's what you've been putting in your heart, so that's what is coming out. A fruit problem is truly a root problem. The issue is the heart of man. You say, I'm going to try to fix my words. You ever had a problem with saying the things you shouldn't say? Don't raise your hand because all of our hands would be up, wouldn't it? And you've had a problem. You're like, if I could just control my words. You know what you need to control is your heart. Right? If my heart is right with God and controlled by God, then God will help control my speech. You know, the Bible says if a man can control his tongue, he can control his whole body. The most powerful part of your body is your tongue. The tongue can start wars. The tongue can lead people to Christ. But that's a matter of the heart, isn't it? Too many times we're trying to deal with the fruit issues. I've got a problem here. I need to stop drinking. And not me. I'm not drinking the wrong things, that is. Right? I need to stop drinking or smoking or saying the wrong things or whatever. The problem is an issue of the heart. A tree is known by its fruit. Number three is this: God can change the fruit. God can help you with that fruit and that heart issue in your life. You ever try to fix things in your life and you try to battle a sinful problem in your life, but you can't do it on your own, can you? You can't do it on your own. You know what the best thing to do is? You go to God and say, God, I have a problem in my heart. God, I have a problem in my life. God, would you help me? I want my heart to be clean and right with you. We're not going to turn there, but Psalms 51 is probably my favorite psalm, and it's a psalm of David after his sin with Bathsheba. And David says, cleanse me and purge me. Lord, help me to be right with you. Search me, see if there be any wicked way in me. Too many times we're trying to fix the fruit issues when we need to fix the heart issue. The heart issue. There is no one that can change a heart like God. Amen? There's no one that can change a heart like God. You know what the number one need of every single person is this, that a heart would be saved. Amen? To know that your heart is saved and forgiven of your sin. You know the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is what? It's death. We have a fruit problem because we have a heart problem. Too many people are trying to live like a Christian on the outside, trying to have all the fruit of putting on the right clothes and saying the right words, going the right places, even going to church and holding a Bible. But in the heart of man, between you and God, you know that you're not saved and your sins have not been forgiven. You have a heart issue. I think of that passage in the book of Matthew, one of the saddest verses in the Bible, where the Bible says that many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works and cast out demons? And Jesus Christ said this, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Too many people are trying to do the works of a Christian and thinking that somehow God's going to be pleased by my works when God looks on the heart. Are you saved? Between you and God, would you say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, based on the Word of God, I know that I have eternal life. You're not working at getting saved. You don't get saved sometime along the way. You get saved at one time when you're born again. When God forgives your sin and you know that you're on your way to heaven. God is the only one that can change the heart of man. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, listen, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, anyone can say a prayer and not be saved. Anyone can confess to being a Christian but not be saved. Why? It's a matter of the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Are you saved and on your way to heaven today? Has your heart, have your sins been forgiven? Then after salvation, we have to work at keeping our heart right with God, don't we? Right? After you get saved, I have to work at keeping my life right with God. That's every day getting in your Bible and prayer and saying, God, I don't like the fruit that's coming out in my life. You ever get discouraged with the kind of Christian that you are? You ever think, I should be a better Christian than I am? God, I should serve you better. I should watch what I say and what I do. And you say, God, I have a problem today. That's every day. You get in the Word of God and you say, God, cleanse me. God, forgive me. God, help me to be right. I want to live for you. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Too many times we're trying to work on the works of the flesh stuff instead of working on walking with God. When you walk with God and you get your heart right with God, it helps the fruit issue. You understand? We can either live in the Spirit or the flesh, and it's one or the other. You walk with God and God will help your heart to be right with Him. That's why, Christian, confession and repentance of sin is so important every day. Walking with God. You say, if I walk with God, I'm never going to fail. I wish that was the case, don't you? But when you fail and you sin, you stop and say, God, forgive me for what I said. God, forgive me for what I did. Forgive me what I looked at, where I went. Would you forgive me? Help me to get it right. And help me, Lord, to be right with you. I want my heart to be right. If you let sin build up in your life, your heart is going to get hardened and callous and away from God, to where all of a sudden your heart is so dark and you're so far away from God, you're so far out of the will of God in your life. God can change the heart and the situation in your life. Too many times working at the fruit issues. If I put on the right clothes, if I just go to church, if I carry my Bible, there's things you can do that help and affect your heart. But there's certain things where getting alone with God and saying, God, number one, I don't know that I'm saved. Lord, I need to trust in you as my Savior. That'll change your heart. And then number two is this, getting your heart right with God every single day. Cleanse me, help me, Lord, to live right before you. With head bowed and eyes closed,
No one talking, no one looking around, please, for a moment. Between you and God, how's your heart? You say, but I have some fruit issues in my life. I get it. We all do. We all battle with sin in this sinful world. But the issue is not as much about the fruit. The issue is more about the condition of your heart.